Hello, and welcome back to the Poorly Written Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where we say it's a box when we open up the GIF. It's actually just a box. Meaning it's all filler. Anyways, I'm Zach. joining me today, Mike and India. You know them. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Zach. Glad the dad jokes didn't die off with you.
Not yet. And today we have our first returning guest, Justin from the Generation Zen podcast.
Say hello, hi. What's going on?
I was about to say hi, but you beat me to it, but that's fine. So today's episode, it's very interesting. We're getting into that time of the year, despite COVID and everything. You know, COVID's tried to ruin everything. There's still holiday stuff going on, like holiday deals, Black Friday deals, internet deals. You get the picture. But since some of us are a bunch of nerds, we are deciding to talk about the next generation of consoles and games that are going to come out this year, too. So today's show, we're going to talk about consoles. We're going to talk about the Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, if the Nintendo Switch is still a good deal, maybe some other stuff like VR, HDMI 2.1. I don't get that name, but whatever. We're also going to talk about games that are coming out this year, too. I mean, like, what's going to be good? Is there going to be any flops? Is there something that we haven't heard of yet? So we're going to get started on all of that. Justin, let's start with the consoles. Because I know.
Yes, sure. What do you want to start with specifically? Because I cover next-gen consoles a lot on my channel, and I'm following this stuff pretty closely. So
yeah,
what do you want to know? Where do you want to start?
Well, I'm an Xbox fan, so let's start with the Xbox. I mean, like,
and, all right.
It looks interesting. It looks like a very... It almost looks like a Microsoft knockoff of Amazon Echo or Alexa or whatever.
Yeah. Don't give them any ideas.
It looks like... It's not that small. It just looks like a tower.
Oh, okay.
It's a brick.
It's a brick. You can build a house out of it. But, Justin, what do we know about this?
Well, it's pretty cool that they're launching two consoles. They're launching the Xbox Series S, which is going for $299, which is honestly for a next gen console with the power that they're going to be having in that console is really impressive. And they're also launching the Xbox Series X, which is going to be $499. And the Xbox Series S and the Series X, they're going to be using the same CPU and the same architecture, but the GPU is going to be slightly different. However, with that being said, they're still going to be able to play the same games, which is really cool. It's just you're going to get different performance on the Series X than the Series S. So the Series X is your main target if you want to play like 4K gaming or if you're really looking for super high frame rate for games. And the Series S is a better option if you're more into like 1440p gaming with maybe lower frame rate and not valuing performance as much. So they're really two good options. The Series X also has the disc drive. The Series S does not. It's a digital only console. But I mean, both are super interesting consoles, and I love the design of the Series S in particular because it's this really tiny console, and it's the way that I thought that Microsoft was going to go with the Xbox One S all digital edition when that came out last year. And it was really disappointing because when Spawnwave Media did the teardown of the console, he opened it up. It's like, yep, they could have made this super tiny, but instead it's just the same shell. All they did was literally remove the disk drive. So the fact that they're making this console really tiny that can fit in like any entertainment center is pretty cool. I like the design of it too with the fan, the giant fan in the middle. But for me personally, like I don't care what these consoles look like as long as they don't have any heating issues, which there was a rumor recently where they said they did, but information came out and I talked about that on my channel where that ended up not being true at all. And they did heat tests and it's just not a thing. So yeah, I'm a fan of both consoles from Microsoft. They're looking really good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I watched the Microsoft showcase of both of them and the announcement videos and stuff like that, and I did listen to your stuff, and I was following that stuff, because, like, I know the Xbox Series S and X, they're talking about, like, oh, if you stop playing the game and you come back later, you can pick up right where you left off.
That's interesting. Yeah, with quick resume. So you're going to be able to store, I think it's like 4 or 5 games in this thing called quick resume, and basically what that is if you close a game and you reopen another game, it's going to remember exactly where you left off with super fast loading time. And you're not going to have to like sit through the main menu and things like that. Now, it doesn't really work that well with multiplayer games. Like people were trying games like Fallout 76, like, and games like that that are multiplayer based. It doesn't really work as well for that because it doesn't remember where you are on the server, but it works great for single player games. Like people were trying Assassin's Creed and, you know, some of those RPG style games, and it works so good with those. So it's definitely a great feature, and I'm excited to see, you know, load times finally be drastically reduced.
I mean, coming up with this generation. I always love a good loading screen with like art and tips and stuff. And sometimes
like a Skyrim type thing or
something like that. And so, and depending on the game, sometimes if it's like a really long loading time, they put in a mini game so you're not like bored the whole time. I'm gonna kind of like miss that stuff, but like, you know, if
well, it's not just that though. It's like they a lot of games had these hidden loading times, so you'd be up an elevator. Well, it's funny because I was playing an old game yesterday that I got on Steam, Republic Commando, Star Wars Republic Commando. It's a great game, and it was funny because I got to the part where you're up this elevator, and you're on this elevator for like 2 minutes. And the reason why that's there is because they're loading in all the assets for that level, even if you're, you know, you're actually there. So that stuff is going to get reduced as well. Another example was
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, maybe. I didn't really play Mass Effect much, but the other example I was going to do was like Dark Souls and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, where you're like just crawling so slowly for like 30 seconds. That's because there's a load screen there. So that stuff is also going to get significantly reduced because the consoles are going to be run on SSDs this time.
I mean, that sounds great and all. What is, I mean, we're talking about this stuff. I mean, you talked about the frame rate and stuff and the GPU and all that. I was going to interrupt and ask you, like, for people who don't know, how would you put that into like context for someone who may not know what all those terms are?
Well, basically frame rate is just the, how to describe it
for like, I guess a game looks or something.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of the way it is. Like you could tell the difference between like a 30 frames per second. Like here's an example, like on the Mario 3D collection, if anyone's played that, if you look at Mario Sunshine, that's running at 30 frames. But if you look at Mario Galaxy, that's running at 60. So the game, like it just, everything is a lot more smoother with a high frame rate, and the higher the frame rate, the smoother the game's going to look. So having games that could potentially be 120 frames per second is a big deal.
You know, that does make a difference. I mean, like people in like PC gaming are always like, oh, I'm trying to get the next best frame rate and stuff. And now the consoles are, I feel like the consoles in a way, just in general, are starting to finally catch up a little bit.
Yeah. And I think I also saw like an article or something like with these next generation consoles, you can like customize it like very, very slightly, but you like take pieces out or something.
Well, there's probably gonna be settings in the game. It's rumored that you could prioritize higher. It's not gonna be like crazy like PC settings what you could like customize everything. But it's probably gonna be like, if let's just say Halo Infinite comes out and you want to play that game at the highest resolution possible but sacrifice frame rate, you could more than likely change that in the option setting. So if we're going to see kind of customization when it comes to gameplay, that's what it's going to be.
The Xbox does seem like a good buy from what I've seen. I think they've learned like from the mistakes of the Xbox One and how not only how they presented it, but just how they marketed it in general.
Yeah, so the thing about the Xbox, back in the Xbox One was coming out, like it was a really rocky launch. I mean, they did not present the console well at all. They were trying to, and look, I respected what they did with the Kinect. It was a cool idea to have the voice control stuff, but it was just really unnecessary in the long term and people didn't like it. And you had Don Matrick like absolutely tank that project to the ground. He said, well, if you can't have online only for your Xbox One, just buy an Xbox 360. Like, so when you try to sell your next gen console in this just awful way like that, it was,
yeah,
you know, it was just, you know, you were done for the beginning. And also,
you want to play online, just downgrade, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like, stick with the 360. Like, yeah, no, that's not how you sell your next gen console. And the other thing about that too is, last generation did not have as much of a performance boost as everyone was hoping. They were running those AMD Jaguar chips. Now, if you guys don't know about those chips, they were originally designed for mobile devices for like gaming. It was like an AMD experimental chip. And so when Sony and Microsoft went to AMD for these CPUs, they're like, this is what you're going to be putting in this console? Okay. And that's why you had games like Battlefield 4 when that came out running at 900p when we were already at that point, 1080p should have been well into the generation. So it was definitely not the performance boost we wanted. Last generation was, as many people say, it was just the sixth generation with a fresh coat of paint. So, you know, I'm just super happy that, the seventh generation with a new coat of paint, the 360 and stuff. So I'm just happy that we're finally getting good consoles to come out that are going to really push performance in games.
So what's like bad about the Xbox?
What's bad about it is right now they don't have any first party support. The first party support right now, since they just bought a bunch of studios, it's not as like they don't have nearly the lineup that PS5 does, at least from launch. Now down the road, for sure. I mean, now they just got Bethesda and that huge acquisition, and you know they have stuff in the pipeworks, but from the time being, they're launching this console by essentially saying this is the best way to play third party games, and the main selling point is you're going to be able to play games from the Xbox One at higher resolutions and frame rates, which is great. I mean, don't get me wrong, but you know, when people want a new console, they want a system seller. When the Switch came out, I got a Switch and many people got a Switch because of Breath of the Wild, not just because of the console, but because the game was so good. So that's definitely the biggest drawback of the Xbox right now, of the Series S and X, but it's going to get there. It's just going to take some time.
So
yeah, compared to the Xbox One's launch titles, which are actually pretty good, they had like Rise of Rome, which I think was a little bit of a sleeper, but
yeah, it ended up being a pretty solid game, and they had Sunset Overdrive as well. So like they had some good, decent games at launch, but they just, as the generation went on, that was the Xbox One's biggest problem, was didn't have enough first party games. So Phil Spencer changed the company around after Don Matrick, so now they have a bunch of studios, and obviously, like I mentioned, Bethesda. Who knows when those games are going to come out, but starting from launch, yeah, PlayStation definitely has the better exclusive, but Xbox for sure has the better value. I mean, you have Game Pass Ultimate, where you can play your games on your PC, your PC, your Xbox Series S or X, and now they're having Project X Cloud included with that. So in terms of pure value, Xbox is definitely the way to go.
So
it's just there's not enough first-party games right now, especially since Halo Infinite got delayed.
So it's more of a long-term investment if you're into gaming for the Xbox Series S and X versus like, oh, I want to play some like exclusive first-party games now.
For sure. Yeah, and in for third-party games as well, like PS5 is going to have great third-party support, but Xbox typically does play third-party games. They just typically run better.
All right, so
I think that's what we're going to see.
We're going to transition into the PlayStation 5. We made fun of the Xbox for looking like a Microsoft knockoff of Amazon Alexa or whatever, but the PlayStation 5, it looks like a Wi-Fi router in some ways. I mean, like, it has a popped collar. It's very weird to see. For me, it's very weird to see, like, a white PlayStation, because the last PlayStation I remember being any color but black was like the original PlayStation that was like that, like a light gray.
Yeah, that was the PS1.
Wasn't like a special edition of PlayStation 3 like a white color or something?
Yeah, it was they can't figure out their color. Like, they have a color scheme, but they can't just like pick one and go with it. Like, it looks like
the white. They did that for the PS4 too. They had that classic look.
Yeah. I mean, like, not to make fun of it, but it looks like the Wi-Fi router got a popped collar. That's all I'm saying. But let's get into that PlayStation 5. I mean, what do we know about that?
So the PS5, a lot of people actually got it early. Like, I was just talking about this the other day on my channel, that a lot of some of the big channels, like MKBHD, I think Lance Tech Tips,
I know, and Unbox Therapy, those guys. PlayStation 5, so, like, a lot of...
Right, so they sent that early to a lot of people, but I mean, the PS5, there really isn't too much. I mean, it's very similar to the Series X in terms of just performance. I mean, they're going to be pretty similar consoles. I mean, you could go in the nitty gritty of, like GPU architecture and stuff like that, like modern vintage gamer and stuff that I don't really want to get into because it's kind of complicated. And it's like you really have to dive into like super, super detail to find the difference. Like they're both solid choices. But in terms of the PS5, I mean, it's basically just going to be a better PS4. I mean, that's what they're marketing as. They're not going to do any kind of subscription-based service or anything like that, like Game Pass. It's just like, this is just another traditional console coming out. It's going to be more powerful. It's going to run your games better. It's not going to have the same backwards compatibility boost as Microsoft's doing. But it's definitely still going to be an upgrade. Like, if you play PS4 games on this thing, they're going to run a little better. Not, again, to the degree of optimization as the Xbox is, but you know, it's a solid choice and the exclusive for the game. You can't beat what's going on with them.
So I guess,
yeah, I kind of agree with the marketing they're doing with it because the PlayStation 4 was pretty successful. I got one in my room right now and they just had to market it as, Hey, it's better than the Xbox One. And look how much of a disaster that was. And so basically just saying, hey, it's just a better PS4, I think is a good marketing tactic. But the fact that they didn't really focus too much on backwards compatibility, I think is going to hurt them in the long run. And just, I think, you know, with PlayStation Now and everything, that's going to be hurting hard.
Yeah, Jim Ryan, he's the CEO of Sony PlayStation. He's not a big guy on backwards compatibility. He doesn't really see the value in it and care about it, which sucks.
Real futurist,
it's unfortunate. So it's unfortunate that he doesn't. It's just not in his vision. So you're not going to see the kind of crazy backwards compatibility that Microsoft's doing, where you could play to a certain degree a bunch of original Xbox games that still run and play well on the Series X that are going to work. But Sony's not really doing that. You can only play backwards compatibility up to certain PS4 games. It's a small list of games you can't, but a certain amount of games. And again, you're not going to get that performance boost. It's just like, here's the new console. PS5 games are going to run great on it. And we have great exclusives. That's pretty much how they're marketing this thing.
For me as a consumer, that's not really like a great selling point to me, but also I'm like a more than a casual gamer, but I'm like not as hardcore as some people. So if someone's trying to convince me to buy a PlayStation 5 because it's better than a PlayStation 4, that's kind of like a gimme. Like, obviously I hope your console's better than the last one you put out. But I guess because of the console wars between Xbox and PlayStation, what would make someone go to PlayStation versus Xbox? Because it seems like the longevity of the Xbox Series S and X, like, it looks like it has a better long term future as a generational console versus a PlayStation 5 at the moment.
Yeah, that's what it seems like for sure. But like I said, it's exclusives. I mean, you know, if you want to play the next Uncharted and the next God of War, which are game of the year potential games and just highly critically acclaimed games, then that's why you're getting a PlayStation. You know, if you're playing the next Spider-Man Miles Morales and games like that, that's why you're getting the PlayStation for the exclusives. The third-party games are gonna work great on it, for sure, especially since the architecture is way better than the PS4. But, I mean, yeah, that's mainly the reason why you end up picking up one.
Doesn't, like, the PlayStation 5 also, like, you know, have rumors of just bad overheating like the PlayStation 4?
Again, that was just dumb internet rumors. People, for some reason, got caught on. Like, oh, look, the fans are running hot, guys. Well, yeah, of course the fans are going to run hot. They're blowing out, you know, hot air. So it was just like the Series X. It was just a dumb internet rumor came up with thing. These are not going to run hot. They're going to be fine. So I wouldn't be concerned about that.
What else does like the PS5 offer compared to like the Xbox One?
What specifically? Like, what do you mean?
Just in general. Like, why should I buy the PS5 compared to buying an Xbox?
Well, you know, like I keep hitting the same point on everything here is exclusives. Sony has fantastic exclusives, and Microsoft right now just simply does not. I mean, the future of Halo Infinite is like really uncertain, and no one knows how well that game's going to be. No one even knows when that game's going to come out.
Uncertain is an understatement.
They spent all this money. Now they're getting, they had another lead creative director leave just this week, the week of recording. So, yo, Sony games, you know, when you get a game from Insomniac Studios, that game is going to be solid. Like the new Ratchet and Clank looks fantastic. Like that game is definitely the benchmark to play games on your PS5 for sure, with those loading times. Like that to me is like the SSD showcase game for that system. So, you know, that's mainly the reason. The price, and keep in mind too, the price on a lot of PS5 games is going to be increased. It's going to be $70 now. So it's definitely going to be a pricey console, and Microsoft's going more with the bang for your buck approach, like $15 a month, all games that come to the, that are first party come also first to Game Pass. So you get this one service and you have all your games. So Sony's doing a much more traditional approach. And if you like their exclusives, then this is the console to go.
So I like to remind everyone, Indy is not like a super nerd compared to like me, Mike, and Justin. Like
all I do is like watch gameplay in my room at like 3 o'clock in the morning while I'm trying to fall asleep.
I'm trying to get her on to Twitch, so she.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But you know, like I'm using
Indy watching gameplay.
I know you do, but I'm kind of using Indy as a point of reference as like the average consumer who may not know a lot too. But it sounds like, to me personally, but also like India's just kind of like, she's kind of putting together that like the PlayStation 5 sounds very exclusive to certain titles, which is great. Well, with great cinematic games.
I did have a PS2 and I had a Wii. My brother has a PS4. He has a PS4. He only uses it for like Fortnite and like Spider-Man and like those kind of games. But my older brother, he's really big into, like, the PS5. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, when it drops, he's going to be the first person in line to buy it if he's not already got it already, like, early release.
Well, he kind of has to. It's kind of sold out on pre-orders, I think.
Good luck getting one if you didn't get pre-orders. These consoles are going to be hard to find this holiday season.
Her
like,
brother is very
really hard to find.
I'm sure he found a way.
I'm pretty sure he already, like, pre-ordered it because he's really, like, he's really into that.
So, but it sounds like Xbox has everything going for it. I know the Xbox One, it kind of like the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, they were just kind of like, oh, it's improvements from last time. But I felt like Xbox kind of lost last time. And now I feel like this time they finally built a product and now they're building up a service that can go really toe-to-toe with PlayStation and Sony. I would love
Exactly it.
I would love to keep ripping on the PlayStation 5, but we got to move on to the next console. We got to go back to the Switch.
Well,
I mean, that's like
real quick though, before we move on, yes. It's like, it's not really ripping on the PS5. Both consoles are going to be great. It's just, they serve two different styles of marketing. One console is, look, if you want to play with great backwards compatibility with a great library of games for a service, go with the Xbox. If you want to play great single player cinematic experiences, go with the PlayStation 5. Right. So there's really no wrong choice. They're both excellent consoles, and I'm going to be picking up both at some point for sure because they're just great.
Yeah, and I'm like, but anyways, we're going to move. Let's talk about that third console that's in the room that's been out for a while, the Nintendo Switch.
I want one. I would honestly get a Switch just to play Smash Bros. And Animal Crossing.
Yeah, so she can finally beat me in Smash Bros.
I'm trying, okay?
Justin, is it really still a good console? I mean, it's kind of proved itself to be like one of the best consoles of all time. I mean, like, you're able to play it on the go, and then you're able to dock it to your TV. I mean, like, is it still, like, at a good deal?
Oh, yeah, no, the Switch is still, it's going to still be the, my prediction and many people's prediction is that this is still going to be the best-selling console this holiday, despite these new consoles coming out. Just because it has a great library of games, the concept is very appealing to people, and it's just a solid choice. I mean, the Switch has also really good third-party support now for it. You know, the thing about the Switch that's going to be interesting is if they end up coming with that Switch Pro that's been rumored to come out. I don't know if that's actually going to come out next year or not. There are rumors about it. I don't think we're going to see a, like, next-generation Switch for some time. But the Switch is still a fantastic console, and there's great exclusives coming out. and there's already great games for it right now, and people are trying to get it, and that's why it was like super hard to find for the past couple months, is because everyone wants one, and it's a solid choice. And you know, Nintendo really did a great job recovering from the Wii U days with the system. It's just, it's fantastic. I've had mine since launch, and you know, I love it. It's great.
I think the big thing this year, like the top three things that got sold were like animal shelters ran out of animals for adoption. A lot of places ran out of beer and stuff for stuff like that. And then the Nintendo Switch, like all the gaming consoles and stuff, were sold out for a long time. Because people were like, we don't know how long we're going to be in here. You know, we might as well just like grab some stuff and chill. And I think the Switch, like it sold out within like a week when everybody was like, oh, we got to go into quarantine and stuff.
Couldn't even get one.
Yeah, and it Nintendo was, it worked out well for them that Animal Crossing came out around that time. So Animal Crossing, I think, has already passed 20 million units sold, which is insane for a game that came out back in March. And it's already like one of their best selling games. And I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being their best selling game of this generation for them. But yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of great titles on the Switch. It has great third-party support, and you know, a lot of people want one.
I mean, like I noticed that the third-party support has gone up a lot, because like at launch, you know, it was like Breath of the Wild, and then they had a few other games, but now I'm seeing like NBA 2K, Mortal Kombat, and I know they had Skyrim planned out for that too, and I'm pretty sure they're gonna get some of the Fallout stuff, because I know Microsoft and Nintendo are on a good relationship, obviously, because you know, Steve from Minecraft and Smash Bros. If that's not a good relationship, I don't know what is.
Right. Well, before that, Banjo-Kazooie.
Exactly.
Was put in Smash Bros. That was a big deal.
That was, and I remember, I'm not going to lie, I totally forgot that was a game for a while, because, you know, you kind of move on, like, they stop making those games, and then it's like, I'm like, oh, Banjo-Kazooie are, like, on Smash Bros. That is insane.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, about the Switch this year was that Nintendo really didn't have many heavy hitters for this year. I mean, they really went from like March till about now with really not much other stuff coming out from first party wise. Like they came out with that Paper Mario game, but you know, that's not really a major system seller. They were really able to just survive this year, you know, due to changes in work behavior and stuff, obviously, based off of Animal Crossing. And now they're coming out with that Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity game, which looks really great, and the demo's out now. And it's kind of amazing that they're able to survive with not really much titles this year. And there was no, for this whole year, there was no like real Nintendo Direct. It's just been like a bunch of Direct Minis. Like, okay, a game's ready to come out. We'll announce it on Twitter, or oh, we'll just put it in this.
Yeah, here's our DLC for Pokemon and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I think Nintendo has had like one of the better years. Like it's one of the few companies this year that's had a really good year that wasn't directly involved with like selling masks or selling cleaning products or anything else. I mean, they've done a pretty good job this year on just making stuff, and it's not always about how many games you can pump out in a year. It's always about quality of games. So Animal Crossing is definitely like a big one on that.
Yeah, and a lot of people were waiting. Like my friend is a diehard Animal Crossing fan. She was waiting a long time for it to come out, and some people are like that. Like for me, I got it and I haven't played it since April. I do like the game, but some people were they're playing that game still every day, and you know, a lot of people were looking forward to that game, and it's, you know, it's made for a more casual audience as well, which helps. So you know, you're able to get a lot of people maybe playing that game who don't normally play most other normal kinds of games. So you know, Nintendo has definitely a good wide margin of game titles for people, which also helps their console.
I mean, they have a pretty good range. I mean, like it could be like a super friendly family console, but also there's now more mature games, like I said before, Mortal Kombat is one of those examples where it's I feel like Nintendo's finally embracing this the content where it's like, we gotta offer stuff for like all groups versus just be like the super family friendly console we've been in the past before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what really hurt them during the Wii U era, was because they had no third-party support, and they were so slow when it came out to first-party games. That's all they were depending on. So, you know, they're able to shift their market a little bit, and like, here's a hybrid console that's appealing to everybody, and we got all kinds of different stuff on here.
All right, so I think we don't need to keep talking about this. We could probably go on an entire episode about why we love the Nintendo Switch and stuff. But there is a few more things I want to get into before we get into games specifically this year. I've been seeing a lot of advertisements for virtual reality, especially the Oculus Quest 2. Kind of like the big thing that's been coming out from Facebook is like, oh, now we're starting to push into virtual reality. And I've been seeing more and more people push into virtual reality. And I wanted to get your insight on this, Justin, is like, how tangible is it this year that like virtual reality is finally starting to come into kind of that the holiday console wars?
Well, you know, for me, I'm not really a big VR guy. Like, I don't really talk a lot about VR on my channel, and I'm not really super into it. I do know people who are, like my friend Tom on the channel. He's loves VR, and I have a coworker at work who just is obsessed with it. He's all into it. So, you know, the thing about VR is even though it's more accessible, and don't get me wrong, I think the Quest and the Quest 2 are great products for sure. Even if you need a Boomer Book account to log into it, I still think they're great products. But anyway, that's a whole separate thing. But no, I mean, they're still great products, and they're really cool, especially that you don't need wires or the camera sensors or any of that crap. You just put on the headset and you're starting playing, and you have that link cable that you could use on PC. So it's really cool. It's always going to be a niche product. I mean, even Valve, they came out with that Half-Life game this year that was made for VR, and everyone thought, okay, this is going to be the game that sells people on VR. And it just didn't. And I just feel like VR still, it's not going to be on that same level as PS5 and Series X, and even the Switch.
It's not really as established yet, and the technology isn't exactly there where your regular consumer's like, hey, let's get this, because the Oculus Rift just came out with like a wireless version, I think. Either they just came out with it or they came out with it a while ago. I think that was a big thing.
Right, exactly. So it's this niche audience, and it's not really appealing for any hardcore, or I should say like casual experience. Like, it's made for people who want that kind of gaming scape that you could have that you can't really get on a normal console. But it's definitely not mainstream by any means. Like, it's not going to be competing with any of the three major consoles this year. It's just not.
Do you think that VR will become more accessible for casual gamers?
I mean, maybe. They're definitely starting to with the Quest, because with the Quest, you don't need, like I said, you don't need those cameras. You don't need like a high-end computer to play it, because it just uses a Snapdragon 865 processor in the headset, which is a mobile chip, a mobile you find on phones. So it's definitely accessible for sure, but I just don't know if many people really want that kind of experience. And I know people who are really into it, don't get me wrong. And the people who are really into it are going to be staying in it. But it's just hard to get people to play games like that all the time. I mean, and I don't necessarily know if casual gamers are going to be going to that, because casual gamers, they're already playing games on their phone. And that's where casual gamers are starting to move over to. I just don't know if VR is going to be it for them.
I mean, I watched a video recently by Russian Badger. He got sent an Oculus Quest 2.
I saw that.
I mean, like, it was a sponsored video, but like the graphics looked good. It was super easy to set up and everything. And some of the games are actually really fun. I mean, like,
there's great games.
So there's some really great games. Like, I think one of my favorites is Robo Recall. I mean, I played that before up in the VR labs up back at school, and that was a load of fun to play. But I think I really think VR, like, maybe not this holiday season, but I could imagine towards the end of the decade, they finally put out a product that's just so easy to use, and they have enough games to support, like, a fan base that I feel like maybe by, like, towards the end of the decade, so maybe, like, 2027, 28, maybe by then, at the earliest, they'll be like, okay, we're going to establish ourselves as, like, the fourth console in this, like, whole holiday season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Quest is already super accessible as it is. Like, you just need the headset and power the thing on it, essentially. I mean, maybe. But for me, like, the big testament was Valve wasn't able to get as many people on board with VR with Half-Life as they were hoping. And if they couldn't do that, I'm not really sure what game can make that happen, especially since Half-Life is back. I mean, Half-Life is like the big internet meme, for crying out loud, and that wasn't even enough. So I don't know. It's possible, but for me personally and what I've heard, I just don't see it.
I mean, that was a really good game.
Oh, it was. And VR games are great. Don't get me wrong. I just don't see it catching on.
Yeah.
So, other than their niche audience.
So let's move away from VR. And Justin, I know you've been talking with Tommy Tallarico about the Amico.
I talked to Tommy back in May about that console.
It was pretty early on, and like pretty early on. I know that's another console that's also trying to claim kind of that fourth spot. And I know Tommy was trying to aim for the more casual gamer, trying to get some of those mobile gamers potentially to buy this console that has a lot of games that are similar. Is there any really pressing updates about that?
Not really right now. I mean, the console got delayed until next year. They were hoping for a 10/10/20 release, but obviously they didn't hit that. I think Tommy, he's got a great vision. He's a great guy. He's super passionate about his product, and he's got a really talented team around him. The best thing that's going to work for him is if he could get those in-person store demos. I think if he's able to pull that off and get people to try it and really get that casual market that he's hoping for to play this thing and sell in markets that no console's really doing since the Wii. Like he's trying to sell this thing in nursing homes and hospitals and stuff, which is what the Wii is in now. And even Nintendo didn't market that for the Wii. It just kind of happened. So there's definitely a market for Tommy's console for sure. And they don't really have to sell that many to break even. There's definitely a huge chance. I just think the main thing they need to do to get like people like us and casual fans to buy it is to have those in-person store demos and find ways to get people to try it.
Yeah, I mean, like my favorite thing when I would go to conventions and stuff was to go and try out new things, especially like new games and stuff, especially smaller developers who could afford to like buy a stand and give out game demos and stuff, or like pitch you their studio and stuff for new games. So I definitely think that's going to be a thing, but that's I feel like the Amico is like that's going to be something definitely next year to watch out for, because there's not going to be as much press going around for new consoles, so I feel like that's going to work to their advantage.
Yeah, I'm glad Tommy's not launching it around this time as the other consoles, because he would just get completely buried in the news. Like, I know he really wanted that 10/10/20, but he's better off delaying it. And I wish nothing for the best for Tommy. I think his concept is great, and he's hitting a market that no one else is hitting in right now. And if he could really pull this off and be successful in these places like hospitals, nursing homes, children's learning centers and stuff, you know, he's got a really good chance to make this thing pretty good. So I like the concept of it. He's got a great marketing team, like really great industry leads. And he got, I mean, one of the leads from the Xbox Live, who helped launch Xbox Live, is on his team. And someone who was like the vice president of Nintendo America, who helped launch like Pokemon in the United States back in the 90s. So like, he's got a great team around him. He just got to make sure that he stays on message, stays on market, and get people to try it in stores.
All right,
and so if he could do that, I think he's going to do pretty well.
So let's move on from consoles. We've been talking about that quite a bit. We need to get into the games. We needed to get into the content that, like, I think people are really looking forward to, regardless of certain consoles that you like. Some pretty good content coming out this later part of the year. So let's start off with some games that you think are going to be good this season. There's quite a few games that look very promising, but Justin, in your opinion, what do you think is really going to like kind of take over this holiday season?
I mean, it's kind of interesting because there really aren't like too many major big games coming out this year. A lot of them already released. I guess the main game that people are looking forward to is Cyberpunk 2077, which just got delayed again. And who knows if it's even
the universe?
Yeah, who knows if it's even going to be able to come out this year, to be honest. But you know, it definitely looks really cool, and I know a lot of people are super excited about it, and I think it is going to be a solid game when it releases. Just if it even releases this year is the question now. But it's kind of interesting because the game lineup this year isn't really like too too solid anymore. Like, a lot of the big games already came out. Like, most people are looking forward to, like, the new Assassin's Creed and Spider-Man Miles Morales for the PS5, which I think that's also going to be coming for the PS4, from what I heard, Miles Morales. So, in terms of games, like, I guess those are, like, the big ones. And then for the Switch, Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity. But there's not really too much else slated for this year other than, like, you know, the next Call of Duty and stuff, which, you know, take that as you will. So, you know.
So it sounds like, yeah, like, everything sounds like it has a good potential to be really good this year. But we won't know until they drop, like, day one and then seeing the day one patches and then kind of going from there.
Pretty much. Yeah, for the most part.
It seems like, if anything, this holiday season is, like, preparing for the console. Preparing for, like, the new consoles. So it's not exactly, like, you know, the time to release a lot of games, because I guess, like, a bunch of developers are still working with the new tech and developing, like, those games and such. But I think this holiday season is, like, you're going to see, like, a lot of expansions and remasters, like the Demon's Souls remasters coming out this this winter, I think. So, and that's going to be pretty big.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people are looking forward to that one.
I mean, that usually happens the first year of consoles. It's like, there's not a lot of games the holiday season except for major titles. I mean, we're not surprised Call of Duty is releasing a game for the new console to start out with. They did that back with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. I mean, Grand Theft Auto, like, Rockstar has not released any new games in what feels like, it feels like forever, but they have in three generations of consoles, from the 360 to now the Xbox Series X, just as a reference, or, you know, PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 5, they have not released a new game for Grand Theft Auto.
No, they're still going to be milking that Grand Theft Auto 5 for this next generation, at least for the first bit, for sure.
I think with that game series, I think people are finally getting tired. They're like, all right, this is just the same. It's the same shit, different console, looks better. I mean, like, are we going to see a decline in Grand Theft Auto 5 sales this holiday season? Because they've been in the top 10 since they released. I mean, it's the highest grossing game of all time.
GTA 5?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It cost, if I remember, the original production cost was $250 million. Bigger than any movie at the time. Mm-hmm. And they made all their money back within the first couple weeks of pre-sales. And, like, a bunch of other. It was crazy.
It came a long way. Like, when you look at, like, the first GTAs, and then, like, compared to now, like, the graphics are so much better.
That's
like,
true.
We thought the graphics were good back then. We thought, like, it was so realistic, and it's like, no, man, that shit was pixelated. And now you look at it, and it's like, wow, I actually feel like I'm actually carjacking people.
I feel like I'm actually
shit up.
I feel like I'm actually running over hookers.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's funny because Grand Theft Auto 5 was actually a 360 and PS3 game, and people forget that. Like, I remember when that game was coming out. It was, like, towards the end of the generation, but that was a 7th generation game, which is really funny that you guys say that for a game that came out during the 360.
I mean, it's the highest grossing game of all time at this point. I mean, like, Minecraft is up there too, but just Grand Theft Auto 5 is just, like, it is really kind of, like,
very notorious.
It's a very notorious game. I remember the press was so mad about it when they were releasing the first-person view on the next-generation console, and they're like, oh, they're going to train people into be killers and stuff, and then
I don't like first-person.
That's the usual thing that's going to happen. They're going to say it of Cyberpunk when it eventually comes out, I think.
That's going to be a big thing, too. But, Justin, do you think Grand Theft Auto 5 finally falls out of that top 10 because of, like, the new console? We've kind of played the hell out of it on, like, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4.
I mean, it's possible, but, I mean, that game mostly now just makes a lot of money off microtransactions more than anything. So, you know, depends. If people are still playing it and they're buying microtransactions, then sure. But I wouldn't shock me if it did or didn't. I really don't have a big, like, hot take on it, to be honest.
All right. So we know there's a lot of games coming out, the Demon Souls remake. You mentioned it earlier. I'm forgetting the name. Clank.
Ratchet and Clank. I don't think that's coming out this year. I think it's coming out next year.
Yeah, but for the foreseeable future, do you see any, like, flops that, like, are gonna happen? Because, like, I feel like at this point, if Cyberpunk is not releasing anytime soon, I feel like they're not hitting the mark.
I mean, to me, no, not Cyberpunk. For me, it's Halo. I mean, Halo, there's just so much. Halo Infinite's got a lot of trouble going on with that. I mean, they try to like throw a curveball for fans. Like, look, we're bringing Joseph Stanton in, you know, who's a Bungie guy who helped work on everyone's favorites, you know, the campaigns from the original Halo games, the Halo trilogy and ODST and Reach. And like, look, you know, he's back, guys. He's back trying to get people excited. But then, you know, you get more news about people leaving the company. So that to me is a game that is like, oof, like I just don't know how well that game's going to be. And it hurts as like a diehard Halo fan who is playing through the Master Chief Collection again and remembering just how awesome these games are and playing them on PC with high refresh rates and graphics and stuff. Like, it makes me really want to have Halo Infinite. And the gameplay in that trailer did look fun, but I just don't know how well that project actually is turning out to be. And I know there's been things coming out this week about the cosmetics, and apparently they're not doing the original Halo style cosmetics with like colors and stuff. It's going to be like armor pieces and like groups. And I don't really know too much about it. I just know that they're making decisions that fans aren't happy about. And the project definitely, whenever you have a project with so many people leaving the company for, it's definitely concerning. So for me, more than anything, that is the biggest concern of a next-gen game coming out, more than Cyberpunk.
So you think, I know Halo 5 was just an absolute train wreck of, like an absolute train wreck of the series. I mean, 4 took a very interesting but good step, and then whatever they did in 5 did not work. So
it did not.
Seems like Halo is really the true toss-up here when it comes to like games. I mean, they delete it again, and then it's like, is it really going to be worth all the trouble of all this creative decisions?
I think Halo's having this, like, its Call of Duty moment where they're just sort of losing direction in a sense.
Yeah. Well, the difference, though, is Call of Duty was still able to sell millions of copies. I mean, even though people said that, it's still able to be still, like, you know, top charts every single year. Creative-wise. But if Halo is just... If Halo really ends up getting horrible reviews and it's just an absolute train wreck, you know, it's really not going to be the kind of longevity that people want. And yeah, it's going to be coming to Game Pass. Okay, we'll still be able to try it on Game Pass. But I mean, you know, that's not what they're hoping for. They're hoping that this is like the next... They're hoping that this is a return to form for Halo, which again, the gameplay from the 10 minutes we saw looked fantastic. But, you know, I just don't know how well the level design directions really is with all these shakeups.
Yeah, I remember Call of Duty having kind of their identity crisis because it kept pushing the envelope on like, oh, the future. And then Infinite Warfare came out. It was the worst rated Call of Duty ever, but it still sold millions of units. But that was mostly because they attached the Modern Warfare remastered to it. So we know that remasters are working in this gaming environment and stuff. People are nostalgic for like... You know, like the old times, if you will, the older times when games were simpler. But we're seeing Call of Duty kind of go back a little bit to the Black Ops series. But first off, I hate that title where it's like Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War. I'm like, yes, you are in the Cold War. That's the entire point of your series.
I know.
That was the entire point. And I mean, Call of Duty Mobile is a really good mobile game for being a free game. Like, I'm surprised that they're getting people in microtransactions, but I'm very surprised at how well they've done Call of Duty Mobile. So do you think Call of Duty coming out, I know you're not, like, huge into Call of Duty, but do you think, based on what they've been doing recently, do you think it's going to actually be another good Call of Duty game?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, I really liked, you know, I know some people didn't, but I really liked the Modern Warfare 2019. That was the first Call of Duty game I got since Modern Warfare 3 back in the 360. And that was like a really big like next-gen step with the engine and stuff. And this game, it looks pretty cool like in terms of the graphics and stuff. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to get this one or if I'm as excited. I'm definitely not as excited as when Modern Warfare was coming out. But, you know, it looks cool. And it wouldn't surprise me if it ends up being good or ends up being at least fun.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't touched a Call of Duty since Black Ops 2. That was the last Call of Duty I played. Like, you know, I didn't get Ghost. I just got Black Ops 2, and then after that, I'm like, you know what? I don't need this. I don't need this. But let's talk about some other games. I mean, is there any games that nobody's really paying attention to that someone could be like, you could be like, oh, this is going to be really good?
Games that are coming out that people aren't really paying attention
to. Maybe they're flying under the radar a little bit because they're kind of getting ignored by the bigger titles.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, there's that game Godfall coming out that some people are talking about that looks pretty good.
I have some doubts about that.
But yeah, like I don't really know too much about that game, to be honest. Like, I really don't know about many under the radar titles this year. I think most of those came. I guess like Crash 4 would be it, because Crash 4, it didn't really sell as well as Sony was hoping, and you know, I feel like launching the game at $60 didn't really do it any favors. But yeah, I mean, in terms of under the radar games, I think they kind of mostly came out. I think really all that's left are just like, you know, the big boys, really.
The big boys. I mean, we got the Assassin's Creed's coming out, Valhalla. That looks very interesting. Spider-Man Miles Morales looks good, too. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very good title to start off the PlayStation 5 with, especially now, like, you know. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I think Miles at one point was, like, just as popular as Peter Parker at one point, but now he's getting his own game, and I think that's going to be really good for the PlayStation 5. And they already confirmed a Spider-Man 2 sequel coming out on the PlayStation 5 sometime within the next couple years.
Yep.
So, but, you know, we have a lot of remakes. We have a lot of, like, interesting games coming out. I mean, you really, it feels like you really can't go wrong this holiday season with a game that you pick.
No, and again, there's a lot of stuff that came out early this year that people might have missed out on. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that's out there right now.
So I kind of, what? Nothing. You're just looking. I'm just kind of double checking the list, and it's like Hitman. It's like that comes out next year.
Well, that Mafia remake, actually. Speaking off that though, I hear that Mafia remake was pretty good. The Spawncast talks about that game quite a bit, and it's I hear everything about it is pretty solid. So maybe that would be an example.
Yeah,
Mafia remake.
The Mafia series was good. Mafia 2 was like the most popular one. And then Mafia 3 just kind of fell off. I mean, I appreciated the angle it went for. I haven't played it personally, but I've seen gameplay and it looks good. But there was just a lot of issues with it. But it just kind of feels like this year was like very different for a lot of industries. Gaming was like kind of different. Not in some senses, like digital downloads and stuff like that would made it super easy. But, you know, like, is there any games this holiday season, or maybe this year in general, that you would recommend people go check out?
Well, that have also already came out?
It doesn't matter if it's already came out and stuff. Like, maybe now people got extra money and stuff, and they want to go buy a new game. Like, what is something you kind of want to recommend to people? Well, be like, hey, go pick this up.
Yeah, like, to me, I mean, I'm going to have a whole episode of my show talking about, like, favorite games of the year. But for me, my favorite game of the year is still Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. I mean, that game is so well done. The graphics on that game are great. They brought like a bunch of new skaters and characters in there. So, I mean, and I'm a big pro skating fan in general. So, like just in, you know, real life stuff. And I feel like the game is such a good return to form, especially how bad the Tony Hawk Pro Skater series has been for like years. To me, this game was fantastic, and I feel like it's a $40 game, which it could easily sell for $60, but it is $40, and there's no microtransactions or anything like that. It's just a solid, fun game, and that to me is what I would always recommend people to play. It's just it's super casual too. Like, you don't have to be really good at it. You could just do all these tricks. You could even just do basic tricks at a pretty like casual level and have fun with it. So, like, to me, that's the game I recommend people check out this year.
All right. And that's Justin's recommendation. Of course, we have our own recommendations, but we are running out of time. So I would like to thank Justin for coming on today, talking about all this stuff, his expertise. Bravo, sir.
Oh, no problem. No, a lot of it's just regurgitated from the Spawncast and, you know, guys like that, Young Yeah and stuff, but... Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on. I love talking about this stuff. I'm looking forward to this generation. And it finally feels like a really big upgrade that we haven't had in so long.
Justin runs the Generation Zen podcast. If you want to hear more nerdy you know, gaming, nerdy news, stuff like that, he's the guy to go to. He's the one to go talk to, listen to his stuff. His interviews with Tommy Tallarico are up there, along with a bunch of other talks about gaming and stuff. You also do some live streams. I know you're usually on Fridays and Sundays live streaming. You want to talk about those?
Sure. Yeah, I haven't actually posted like a traditional podcast in a little while. I'm going to get back into doing that. We're just coming up with some ideas and stuff. But in the meantime, we've been doing live streams over on the YouTube channel on Fridays at 10 p.m. Most Fridays at 10 p.m. We just like kind of recap the gaming news of the week and, you know, talk with chat and stuff like that. It's fun time. And sometimes we go on random tangents about like pizza and crap. So we do that. And on Sundays, we started playing. And Zach, you were actually on there last Sunday. We play a game. Lately, it's been Among Us, but might like expand that to like other fun, like casual, you know, party games and stuff like that. Like we might do like a Euro Truck Simulator, you know, fun multiplayer session at some point. But for now, it's just been Among Us, and we do those at Sunday, typically at 7 o'clock. So those are really the three places you can find us: is the podcast, the live streams for the gaming news, and then playing a game on Sundays.
All right, so that's how to find Justin outside of our show. That does it for us here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Poorly Written Podcast. And everybody say bye.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye.
That was
goodbye.
That was fun.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. Man. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. I mean, like, I didn't realize I was conflicted about buying. I'm not conflicted about buying a Switch, but now I'm, conflicted. I'm, do I really want a PlayStation 5 for exclusives, or do I want, an Xbox?